Welcome to Knowledge Cast. This is a look into the world of knowledge management, information management, data management, and everything in between. This is brought to you by Enterprise Knowledge. I'm Zach Wall, founder and CEO of EK. Today, we're speaking with Megan Brown, Director of Knowledge Management and Data Literacy at Starbucks. Megan, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
I also want to report that I am drinking a Starbucks flat white in honor of this interview. So I really appreciate the time and the great coffee.
Excellent.
So everybody knows your brand, no question about that. But where I'd love to start, where I often start, is by asking you to share your definition of knowledge management. What does it mean to you? What does it mean to Starbucks?
Sure. So I will start by sharing my vision of knowledge management. My team started 6 months into the pandemic. So we were facing a new challenge in terms of knowledge management, where Starbucks had been a company that was very much in person and based on relationships. And all of a sudden, you didn't see anyone face to face. We still haven't seen anyone face to face. Knowledge was exchanged in those relationships, which is great for relationship building. It's not so sustainable. So what we did was we started to figure out how. So I'm under an org called Analytics and Insights. We realized that people were having trouble finding our stuff, our decks, our insights, our videos, our white papers. It was all tucked away in someone's email or a shared drive somewhere, and it was just causing a lot of frustration. People weren't able to use the insights that we generated multiple times. So we did what all good data scientists do, and we made a data table out of all of our products, including dashboards. And we created a dashboard on top of that that was a searchable interface. Now, it's a very simple search. It's not rocket science, but most of what we've produced in the last 3 or 4 years is there. What I imagine happening in the future is that a lot of our data and metrics information, the metadata, could be attached to the decks and white papers and dashboards that we're already sharing. And what that means is when you look for rolling 12-month attrition, you could find a deck coming out of the partner data science team. You could also find decks coming out of the market research team that focuses on partner surveys. You might be able to find a reference in the metadata platform for the definition and a point to the data sources. Maybe someday you'd find a query.
Love it. So there's a couple elements here that are pretty exciting, and I think our listeners are really going to love to dig into more. So first and foremost, you're talking about KM kind of being born at Starbucks as a result of the pandemic. So this is something we've heard about a lot. Organizations were doing fine in person. Somebody could hop out of their office and scream down the hall, hey, does anybody have this or that? And that suddenly stopped working because everybody was suddenly at home. So was that the big driver for this, that it was working okay in person just due to the kind of the social nature of physical presence and that broke all of a sudden? That's what triggered this?
It did. I think there were other consequences to it. When you were newer to Starbucks, it was harder to find information.
Yep.
If you had a different type of social network than your manager, you couldn't find it on your own. So you were dependent on your manager. So there were other issues before, but we made do. It was a part of the culture that we accepted. Now, in our future, we have a hybrid work environment. Some people will be entirely remote with occasional visits. Other folks will be in the office all the time. And I had a real concern about the folks far away just being left out of conversations, forgotten about, or kind of set adrift to solve problems on their own without having any reference to prior solutions.
So Megan, you are, I believe it, you actually have your PhD in data science. Is that, do I have that right?
Well, so my PhD is in the quant edge of cognitive psychology.
Oh, that's even cooler. Okay. We need to hear more about that. But so your background is in data science. So how did you pick up the knowledge management title? I mean, did somebody ask you at Starbucks to take this on? Did you claim it? How did this happen?
Yeah, I was the data scientist that kept asking questions about why did we do this way?
Nice.
We've done this before. Where is it? Can I use that? Where did it go? So you ask enough questions, you get yourself into trouble, and then you have to actually come up with a solution.
This is the unintended consequence of actually asking how the business could and should be run. I love it. That's fantastic. So how have you gotten yourself smart on KM? I mean, obviously you're saying all the right words and you're talking about all the right things. How have you really kind of developed your own capability around the knowledge management half of your title?
Yeah. So Starbucks has a data governance team that's over in a different org, Starbucks Technology. And they have a lot of the foundational building blocks of knowledge management. So we have a metadata platform. We have a first few attempts to enter metadata about our data sets and metrics. It wasn't a very widespread solution. And sometimes the metadata platforms can be a little too technical for the business to use, if that makes sense.
Very much so.
They have to track a lot of very precise information. And when the business is thinking about a metric, that's not necessarily how they're thinking about it. And so I kind of wandered right into this space where it's like knowledge management feels like it's more than this. But one of the things I could do relatively quickly is try to get more people, more organizations to put their metrics into that metadata platform. And the way that I pitched that to people is, if you put your metrics into the platform, it's effectively a database we can pull from. And we can put that metadata information into any number of other places, and we can start to connect it to places where it really matters. So we've done that for analytics and insights. We had a haunted metrics day on Halloween.
Okay, I need more on that.
Well, we were inspired. We talked to someone from Airbnb, and a few years back, they did March Metrics Madness. And I was like, oh, that sounds like a great time. Who would think that documenting metrics would be a great time?
Me, for one.
So we had Haunted Metrics Day. It started out with a scary story about what happens when you don't have shared metrics. And we were able to motivate people to spend the entire day hashing out metrics definitions between them, conversations that probably should have been had before but weren't, setting a solid definition, attaching the best version of code, and then pointing at the dashboards in which those metrics show up. And, you know, it's foundational stuff, but we made it a little fun. We had a costume party and a dunk tank for our SVP.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
What'd you dress up as? Was it like some cool themed analytics costume?
I thought about it, but the toddlers ate that. So I was a dragon and I put on some wigs.
You're a data dragon. I got it. We got it. We can do that. Good. So what a cool way to make what was not to you and I, but to many, probably a little bit of a dry topic, feel compelling and feel like fun. We talk a lot on the podcast about driving change and making KM real for people. And boy, you just gave us a great example of it. So you're approaching this, Megan, from a really interesting perspective. A lot of the folks that we have on the show are talking about KM first from a content perspective, from an unstructured content perspective, mastering their files and their documents and increasingly taking the tacit knowledge of the experts in the organization, the stuff that's up in their heads, and transferring it into a digital format. You are unique in approaching it from a data first perspective. And I love that. And I see that as a trend in the industry. So can you perhaps say a little bit more on what you're hoping to get out of this phase of the initiative? You've used the words findability and discoverability. I love those words. But I guess two questions. How do you think that this data-first approach is going to help Starbucks? And how are you going to measure the success of it? What's that outcome that you're looking for?
Sure. So as a data scientist, it just seems like the most practical entryway to the problem. We have databases, massive databases of data. We know what those tables are. We know what those columns are. And my team, Analytics and Insights, knows how they use them, right? So we already have these queries. We already have these building blocks. We just haven't come to a sort of shared agreement about exactly what those things are. So it seems like that's just fundamental cleanup. Those metrics show up in everything we do. And if you think about the web of how a deck would relate to a dashboard, would relate to a metric, would relate to a training video, you would index it all by the name of the metric.
So you're beginning to describe this concept of learning at the point of need or knowledge at the point of need. Somebody wants to be able to ask for one question And they want to be able to get the simple answer to that question, the metric, as well as the training piece, the list of experts on the topic, the deeper learning opportunity, the past reports and documentation. Effectively, they want to see the world of potential answers and then choose the ones that are right for them at the moment. Is that going down the path of what you envision in the future?
It is. I think one of the risks right now, because our search is so simple, is that it's going to be an overwhelming set of answers. Mm-hmm. And someday, I hope that we're using ML and AI to really sort out a better set of answers for that individual. For now, it's an overwhelming set of answers, but it's a set of answers.
And you got to start somewhere, and you are. So I'm glad you mentioned search. That was actually my next question, because a lot of times search is where KM gets clickable. It's that place where, frankly, knowledge and data get surfaced for the average user. They don't need to know words like taxonomy and ontology. They don't need to be data scientists. They just need to know where to go to ask the question and get the answer or answers. So can you tell us a little bit about where Starbucks is with search, and where maybe a little bit more about the artificial intelligence and machine learning dreams that you just mentioned?
Yeah, sure. We are probably like most other companies at a point where we have search available in multiple platforms. And when I say multiple platforms, it's not like three, it's 40. So that's really, you can only search that platform's content on that platform.
Okay.
There's nothing really reaching across. And that's really my vision, is something really simple and intuitive to use. So you don't need to be particularly technical to use it, where as many of those platforms as possible are linked together and searched at the same time.
Fantastic. And this goes back to where you began. If you have a metadata platform that has effectively enterprise information architecture, taxonomy, ontology, whatever you want to refer to it as, then that is the building block of an effective enterprise search that can link these 40 plus systems. That's exciting. So how do you progress down that path? You're at the point where you've had a haunted day-to-day, and you've got individuals and groups aligning on terms and terminology, which is so hard and such an important first step. What's next?
The very next thing to do is lure in some other organizations to get their data into the metadata platform. So we've got one organization that I won't name lined up. And then we have another group of international analysts who want to build off of our definitions, but with different data sources, which is a very unique problem. Trying to figure out how close you can get to the same metric with different calculations fundamentally. So that's the next step.
So you are, what I'm hearing is very agile in nature. You're looking at your core design and you're saying, we can extend the design itself. So we could add additional classes and terms to it, but we can also extend it to additional data, both probably as inputs and then as outputs, as in you're going to connect it to additional systems.
That's
so is Starbucks an agile shop? Are you an agile person, or are you just thinking about it in those terms because it makes sense?
I suppose it's my tech training. I would say I'm little A agile, where there's a lot of good practices and I beg, borrow, and steal where necessary.
Yeah.
I also know perfectly well that if we stand up a tool that doesn't cover the whole thing, we'll lose credibility really quickly.
So tell me more about that, because that presents a really big challenge. You've got 40 systems and probably an interminable store of different data sets. The idea of deploying something for everything sounds like, hey, you might hit it in by Halloween 2030.
Yeah, right.
So how do you do enough, or what's your thinking around what that first release looks like, what the MVP is?
I think the MVP is really Starbucks technology metrics, analytics and insights metrics, finance metrics, and international metrics, referring to the same basic definitions. I think that covers a lot of ground. Analytics and insights serves the whole corporate wing of Starbucks, as does Starbucks technology. So we have metrics from marketing, we have metrics from operations, from the store level, from partner. So we've really got quite the breadth of metrics that we've created during Haunted Metrics Day. I know there are still others out there, and I think we'll be able to get them just because people will say, my metric's not in here. It needs to be in here. How do I do that? I also think we won't be able to get 100%. We have to start somewhere. I feel like with these four groups, we are probably 70, 75% of the way there. And we're solving some really big problems that hadn't been solved before.
That's awesome. So you hit on two things there that I want to press on. One is you're using one of my favorite tactics, which is to make people jealous, right? You're going to deploy what's a little incomplete and then get somebody saying, but I want to be in there. I want my stuff in there. So that's fantastic, especially when you don't have a complete executive mandate to do this across the board. But it takes communications. If you're rolling something out that's going to be enough, but not all, how do you get all of your stakeholders understanding that it's a work in progress that's still offering business value from day one?
So the knowledge management tool my team stood up is known as the Wayfinder. We still put the MVP after it, even though it's a fairly stable thing, because there's going to be documents missing. And sometimes we will have to hunt them down and figure out where they are. We're always adding new systems. So we love systems with APIs. Anything with an API, we're in there. Trying to figure out exactly what we can get from it, whether we can engineer the data to look like what we need it to, and then feed it right into the Wayfinder. So we started out with two systems, and I think we're up to eight.
So this is released then. This is out there.
It's out there in the Starbucks world, and we did a marketing blitz, and I have the sneaking suspicion that we'll have to do another marketing blitz in the near future, where we go and we do a bit of a dog and pony show. We go to people's teams and say, here's the Wayfinder. You want to look for curbside. Here's how you do that. Here's what you find. Here's how you request more information. If you have a topic and you can't find that topic in there, here's what you do. It also took a little bit of training of my own team, so the analytics and insights team, about a change of habits around what we do with our decks.
So there's a couple key elements there. One is creating that two-way feedback mechanism. What you want, and it seems like what you're seeking, is for any business user to encounter the system, ideally get value out of it and get their answers. But when they don't complete their mission, when they can't because the thing isn't in there, that they have a very easy way of saying, hey, I need this thing, I need this term, I need these data. Is that right?
That's right. So one way to think about it is, let's say you search for a dashboard. It could be a pretty complicated dashboard. On that dashboard, maybe you also have a link to a training video for that specific dashboard and a bug report for that dashboard, right? If you click the training video, you might also be taken to the Wayfinder that will show two decks that refer to the dashboard or that were built off of the dashboard, maybe to a quarterly business review in which the dashboard was presented. And so suddenly it's not just you struggling with a single dashboard. You have all these other resources at your disposal. So in the same way, if you have someone poking around in the Wayfinder and they type in, how do I add things to the Wayfinder? You should have a site or a video or something that will help them do that.
Got it. Great. Now, this is a big project, and it's one that I feel like you, as you kind of described earlier, you just kind of did it. And I'm wondering how you were able to get support for it. Because I'm hearing staff, I'm hearing integration with other systems, likely ones you don't own. I'm hearing potential software procurement. There's cost to this. How did you get the right people saying, Megan, go do it. Yes, here's the money.
We're fairly scrappy. So I have a team of six, and we have a lot of support from our peers in Starbucks technology. They have all of these systems stood up. They've been trying to create adoption of these systems. And here we come trying to, you know, give them a boost while we're doing our own work.
Awesome.
There's no need to reinvent the wheel, right?
So there were some good technical foundations. You're actually probably providing a very clear business outcome that helps their technical solutions take hold and show more value. So that's a win-win.
And yes, and they've been very flexible and innovative. So we now have a more broad search and discover project that is starting with the data, because suddenly we have enough metadata to turn it into the foundation of something much bigger. So where my team's Wayfinder is really focused on analytics and insights, the search and discover project would make it an enterprise solution.
Exciting. So tell me more about that. What's the timeline? What are the goals?
The project is just getting started, so they're working on design at the moment. I believe it's a 3-year project. I will say that my vision for this, you know, fully integrated graph world of all this stuff is future state. What they're going to do with their 2 to 3 years is really think about how can we get this closer and closer and closer to what the business actually needs.
Yeah.
And I, in my heart, think that they'll get to the documents because that is what the business actually needs.
Yeah. So you just, I was waiting for it. You use the magic word that seems to keep cropping up in these conversations, that being graph, knowledge graph. And so is that where that enterprise project is heading? The idea of an ontology that adds context first to Starbucks data and potentially to content, people, products in the future through the use of a knowledge graph. Am I guessing correctly about that?
That's right. So we have information architects under ST who are really excited about the project. So they will help to build the graph. And so, you know, much like the Wayfinder, part of the effort is the design of the system. Part of the effort is what do we have access to right now that we can ingest? How are we going to show that information? Do we really want to show all of it? Or is there like a click down that happens? Like maybe all you want is the business term metric definition. But if you click a little further, you can say, here's a dashboard. If you click a little further, here's the table that it's calculated from.
So this is really exciting. What you're getting into is translating the capabilities of a knowledge graph into UI UX. And that is often where a project like this lives or dies, because at the end of the day, you can do the coolest logic and algorithms in the background. If it doesn't make sense to the person who's going to be consuming it, you've still failed and lost. So how are you approaching that particular challenge? Are you looking at personas and use cases of the business? Have you brought in external UI UX folks or using your own team? How's this working for you?
We have developed personas for a couple of different topics. So one of which is search and discover. Another one is data literacy. And one of the things we're doing right now is resolving those personas with each other and trying to figure out, do they overlap? How do they talk to each other if they don't? The persona that we're going after with search and discover is the pioneer. So these people are the folks that like are always looking for new resources, and they're trying to figure out what they can pull together to create something new or to justify a pitch for something new. And so those people will be most intrepid. They're already intrepid, and they have like a pretty bumpy terrain. So we're really trying to smooth the terrain for those people and then help them get what they need faster so they can do their really awesome work more easily.
Love it. You had mentioned early on the idea of the new joiner as well, that person who has historically, not just at Starbucks, but in any organization, struggled to get access to the right knowledge, the right information to do their jobs well and easily. How does that new joiner fit into this current vision, future vision of what you're trying to do?
I would say the new joiner is more of a persona that I am concerned about around data literacy. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to data literacy and these knowledge management and data literacy are deeply complementary. It's hard to use knowledge management if you're not data literate, but you can't establish organizational data literacy if you don't have some kind of knowledge management, right? And knowledge management is so closely tied to business intelligence that like they shouldn't really be separated.
It's unique, actually, Megan. We are seeing increasingly that a lot of major KM transformations are being run out of an organization's learning or learning and performance, learning and development, whatever you want to call it, group, but basically, you know, the learning folks. You are actually one of the first to be driving KM out of a data group. But I actually think that given where KM is going and where the technologies are, it makes a ton of sense. So the way that you're talking about this and the way that you're thinking about it is really exciting to me. I really think that it's a project that's going to catch steam. So congratulations. Well done. What recommendations would you give to an organization that is maybe a year behind where you are now, that's just trying to figure out, how do we get started on this? How do we set ourselves up for success?
Yeah, I would say two things. The first is map out what you think you have. There's always other systems tucked away. And I do this, my team does this through interviews, right? So we trap people in a room, we ask them what systems they use, then we ask them more questions to get at more systems. The systems vary by department. So you just need a map of the whole space. Some of those systems kind of cluster together. You know, how many dashboarding systems does your company have? Plenty. The other thing I would do is make sure that your team has a really good understanding of the pain points, right? So sometimes with analytics teams, we're really comfortable with what we do, right? We feel like other people should just know it too. And that creates a bit of a set of blinders around what the people using your analytics actually know and where they get confused or where their eyes glaze over because you're giving too many details. And that's the heart of it right there, trying to smooth over those spots with meaningful information that is at the right level for them.
Well, you're hitting on a really critical point. A lot of times as the experts, we either go too deep or too jargony, and it seems like you've developed your team in such a way that they really know how to talk to the business and frankly, how to listen to the business to get the right guidance. How'd you do that? I mean, how have you built this team of yours to integrate so well with the real business needs and outcomes?
You know, honestly, my partners, we call partners employees, arrive with a lot of those skill sets. We were formed through a reorg. So everyone on the team was in a technical role before. We have our data viz person. We have our data engineer. We have our economist. We have our TPM.
Sorry, TPM?
Technical product manager.
Oh, got it. Okay.
They were all in the way that many data scientists and analysts are introverts. Uh-huh. They were all the friendliest of the introverts.
Oh, you got the cool data science team.
I think so. I really do.
I thought I had the cool data science team. Talk to me about artificial intelligence and machine learning. So, you know, big hairy goal is to realize that based on what you're doing now and what's in the near future. What does that mean at Starbucks? What would that vision be? What would you be able to do with it?
I mean, I have the data science perspective and then I have the business perspective.
Good. I want them both.
The data science perspective just means I need to be greedy with data. We need to have everything we can in the back end of our system so that we can build any sort of model we want, right? That's actually one of the largest challenges is you're probably going to compete two or three models. Each of them requires different data engineering and different information. And you need to be as broad-minded when you build the table in the back end. For search and discover, it'll be tables in the back end of the system to accommodate all of those possibilities. On the other side, honestly, when it comes to AI, the business should know that it's happening, but shouldn't have to see any of the moving bits. It should just be a place they go to search for meaningful information, and there's a recommended thing. And if that serves their needs, great. Otherwise, they scroll down.
So we talk about this in terms of broader KM as well. Nobody should have to say, I'm doing KM. It should just happen. It should be part of how business works. So you're really saying the same thing with AI. It's going to be an advanced search. It's going to be an intelligent search tool that leverages AI in order to enrich the experience, probably do some self-assembly, some recommendations for your users. But they're not going to say, I am using AI. They're just going to get a better experience. Am I getting
that right? That's right. Cool. At some point, someone will tell them, do you know the Wayfinder has a graph crawler in the background? They'll be like, really? Perfect.
Well, or they will never know it and they'll just know that they're getting richer results, more complete results, and somehow search is finally working the way that everybody has been asking for the last 20 years. So we've been talking a lot about data and graph, rightly so, but what else excites you about the broader knowledge management field at this point, either from a organizational perspective or a technical perspective? What else do you see as this future that gets you out of bed?
So I've always been a process improvement person. I like to joke that I was trying to improve processes when I was a high schooler, which is a very strange thing for a high schooler to do. So the thing I'm really excited about is the kinds of processes, this is my psychologist coming in, the kinds of processes that humans have to do to share information. And right now, sometimes we think of them as a bit burdensome, right? Oh, there's this thing I have to do when I close out a project. But really what you're doing is setting your stakeholders up for success. If they can't find the trail of information that created your project, all of the quirky little decisions that we make over the course of an analytics or data science project, they'll never be able to rebuild it. Someone 2 years down the road will have to start from scratch. We'll have competing definitions, probably competing findings, and it just makes life much harder. We code. Our code should be something we share often and easily, especially if it's really good, strong, well-written code. So there's a lot of the human processes that we need to think through, and we need to think about how to make them engaging, lightweight, remove the sense of burden, and do it as a service to our stakeholders.
This actually goes back to your previous point, right? That they shouldn't have to even really think about the, I am now sharing knowledge in this way. it should just sort of be easy and part of the business. This is, I think, so critical to the KM field as a whole. One of the major impediments to knowledge sharing, as you've just pointed out, is that it's too hard. That it's just people are already busy, they're already stretched, they have 10 other things that are in their official job description, and this isn't. How do you picture this playing out? Is it a design challenge? Is it really about switching processes, or is it about putting perhaps more automation in place? Like, how do you see this happening?
So my team meets people in the systems they're using.
Well said.
So we would want to clean up habits about publishing code. Every piece of code that is a published thing in the Wayfinder should be published to at least our org within GitHub. Then my team can pull from the GitHub API and get what we need with no problems and minimal changes, right? So part of it is really figuring out what systems are people using? What are they not using? Is there a better solution? So if my whole org were like refusing to use GitHub, what would be an easier solution? Does it have an API? How close can we get from like people just doing their job, pushing their code, to pulling their code and putting it into a searchable system?
And then the second piece of this is not just helping people get to their stuff, finding their stuff, as you said earlier, but also understanding the how and why of how that stuff came to be born. What assumptions went into this data set? So how do you do that? Because that becomes extremely complex very quickly.
It sure does. So analytics and insights works in the middle layer. Starbucks technology builds our foundational production tables, and then we have a slew of people who are folding those tables into different shapes, trying to get different sorts of information out of them. That's actually what we're thinking about right now, is that middle layer. How do we ensure that the tables that multiple people are hitting are of the quality we think they are?
Yeah.
How do we make sure the code is available so people can double check? And how do we make sure they have two owners in case something breaks, right? A lot of these tables are one-off things, and we can let those be. But as soon as five people are using the same table, seems like we should have a little more rigor around it. And then, you know, if you start getting an audience of 20 for that table, moving it closer and closer to production is the way to go. And we have a lovely team within Analytics and Insights that starts to take over at that point.
So this is a great point. You can't do it all. But if you've got the right usage analytics, you can actually understand where to put your energies to ensure that you're adding the greatest value and helping the most people align.
Yeah, that's right.
Fantastic. So Megan, one of the ways that you began this conversation and really took on your role in knowledge management in the first place was as Starbucks was transitioning to this remote hybrid work environment. So how do you see the future of work playing out at Starbucks, and how do you see the role that you're playing enabling that?
As a very relationship-oriented company, we're going to have to solve a few different problems. Right now, everyone's still remote, so we're in the same working conditions. As of January, suddenly we have people in the office, people not in the office, people who don't live in Seattle working for Starbucks as things have shifted in this pandemic.
That's harder.
Yeah, it's much harder. All of this stuff that happens through relationships and knowing which person to ask for which thing can't happen that way anymore. And if it does, new employees might quit, right? Because
right.
they'd be so frustrated. They're like, well, I'm in Miami, they're in Seattle. I need to know this thing. I've searched on, you know, this system and that system and this system. I can't find it. I don't know where it is. My boss doesn't know where it is. What am I supposed to do? That's a really deeply frustrating situation. So in terms of employee experience, we have to think differently about this. We have to share information differently. I feel like my team and our Wayfinder is kind of the first pass of this. But it does have to go broader. It has to hit more parts of the enterprise, and it probably does have to include stores as well.
So you just hit on perhaps one of the most critical points of return on investment for any knowledge management initiative. That's upskilling new employees and giving them that positive experience so that they're staying with the organization over the long term, growing instead of getting frustrated and leaving. That is so important, and you can quantify that in terms of dollars and cents pretty easily when all is said and done. Have you gone through that process yet? Have you translated this up the chain to what it could mean from that dollars and cents ROI perspective if Starbucks takes this to the enterprise?
You know, it's a great question. And I've had that job where I've had to put those costs on, you know, the cost of turnover, the cost of replacement. But we haven't done that. I will do that. Just give me a week.
Good. Well, I'll call you back in a week and we can talk more about that. That's awesome. Great. Megan Brown, Director of Knowledge Management and Data Literacy at Starbucks. Thank you so much. What a great conversation, and best of luck with all the cool initiatives you're working on right now. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.